On this about to be hot, sultry weekend, and Monday for that matter, time once again for another wine chat with our friend from Haskell's, Ted Farrell. Ted, good morning.
Good morning, Daddy. How are you today?
I'm just trying to stay cool like everybody else. But hey, it's summer. It's July yet. This is what we wait for.
Exactly. You know, back in January, we were yearning for this type of stuff. And if we had, you know, if there was 2 feet of snow on the ground, then we would have cause for concerns, I think.
Absolutely. Well, what are we going to be talking about? By the way, it's 72 degrees right now on our way to about 90 or so. Now they're talking, yeah, about near 90 today. So what's on your agenda today?
Well, you know, it's a great little segue that you had there for us because it plays into what we were having to talk about today. And part of it is, you know, spent a little time out on the sales floor this last week and kind of working with customers and answering a lot of questions. And this woman came in and asked me a question that at first was very simple to answer. You pointed her in the right direction, but it kind of made you think. She said, "What is the best wine for summer?" And, you know, you kind of scratch your head because then I kind of looked around the store and I said, holy smokes. Well, there's thousands of great wines for summer that you could choose from, whether it's in a lovely little Loire, Sauvignon Blanc from, you know, California, Chardonnays, all that stuff, you know, rosé, whatever. But one thing that that I really like and I truly think is kind of the wine of the summer, and we've just got it in, it's a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc. Now, New Zealand is a fantastic growing region for the Sauvignon Blanc, especially down on that southern island. Now, the southern island, they get cool, cool temperatures from the Pacific all around. And I heard that there is, on the southern island, at any given point, you're no further away than, I think it's about 40 or 50 miles away from the ocean because of the fjords and all that. So that's a very cool, cool climate. And the region of Marlborough, which is kind of the most northern portion of the southern island, is where all this great wine growing is going on. New Zealand doesn't have a rich, rich history in winemaking. They've been doing it for quite a long time because they were so isolated and remote. But a lot of the wines that they made were for fortification or making fortified wines. And that's usually, you know, like a port or a sherry, et cetera, where you would grow or you make their wines and you would stop the fermentation by the addition of alcohol. The majority of their stuff they sold for fortified wines either on the island or they actually would ship back to the Commonwealth to Britain. But they didn't do a lot of table wines. And the table wine industry in New Zealand is very, very young. In the big world picture, in the new world picture, it's right on par. It started up in about the 60s, but it really didn't take its stride till about the 80s. And that people really found that Sauvignon Blanc did well. They do make some red wines down in New Zealand, but they're still trying to find their groove as far as what red wine is the best. They're kind of hinting toward Merlot, maybe even Pinot Noir because it's so cold. But the Sauvignon Blanc just thrives so well down in that particular climate, and it's very unique in style as well because you do get a lot of crisp acidity. But the interesting thing about it, New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, is the flavoration of it is so much different than its counterpart, say, from the Loire or California, where there's this kind of grapefruit tone to it, real round kind of citric notes to it. Real crisp, but that's a very unique. So you can almost taste the New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc in your glass at any time because of that kind of grapefruity nature. But more importantly, one reason why it's a fantastic wine for the summertime is quite simply it can take and hold a chill like no other wine can. You know, Chardonnays, as far as that is concerned, you know, there's old little entertaining tip. If your Chardonnay is a little kind of, you know, a little tired, maybe it isn't up to snuff. If you over chill it, it just tastes like wine. It locks up all the flavors. It becomes very neutral. But a Sauvignon Blanc with a heavy chill really shines through, and that crisp acidity on the finish really, you know, kind of makes it hold. It makes it refreshing. So even with these 90-degree days coming up, you know, it's a fun wine to have around. And again, most importantly, you can put it right in a bucket of ice, bury it down in the ice chest with those other beverages that you might have or whatever, and really shows through. And the one that I really like, it we just got in, was called Sheep Station. You know, it's kind of funny. I think that sheep outnumber people in New Zealand, I think, by 10 to 1, if not 20 to 1 right now, because everyone's growing sheep and they grow stags. They grow all kinds of things. But the sheep is down there. And the sheep station is a fun one that we've had for about 6 or 7 months, but we just picked up a great deal on it. And right now we're offering it up as a BOGO. So it's buy one, get one for $24. It is just a steal. I mean, there's wines from that same region, Cloudy Bay in particular, that starts out at about 20-some bucks a bottle. So you're getting two bottles of wine for that. And the nice thing about that, you can entertain with it. You get a couple extra bottles. It doesn't kill the pocketbook. But then, more importantly, you can put a nice chill on it. And, you know, it's quite refreshing. And so that was one of the questions that came down the pipeline, and it did spark so many other things. One of the wines that I would say is kind of a good wine for summer, but also someone said, well, if I'm going to a party, what should I bring? You know, I don't know really what to do. Now, there's a couple different ways around that. You could also bring what you like, because you know what it's there. You know what the bottle of wine is. So you're sharing that wine experience that you've had with somebody else. So if somebody does say, oh, I'm going to a party, bring a bottle of wine, and you little it at bay, bring what you like. But one thing that I like to bring for those particular instances is a Pinot Noir. Now, the reason why I like the Pinot Noir for a situation like that is such a universal grape varietal. It really pleases everybody because they're generally softer. They're a little bit more delicate. They're a little bit lighter in style. You know, sometimes if you bring a big California cab, that's just a little bit too much for people to consume. And it's, you know, real over the top. You know, sometimes, you know, some Merlots can be real, real soft, too easy almost, too light. Or same with even with a few of the Beaujolais, or even a Nouveau Beaujolais, which is fun at that time. But sometimes, you know, it's a little bit too fruity, a little bit big, round flavors to it. You know, maybe not approachable for everybody, but a Pinot Noir hits that mark where it goes so well. And we've talked about it in the past as well, that how well it goes well with a chicken or a steak or pasta, salad, you know, cheeses and pates and all that type of thing. It's a Pinot Noir is so universal, so wonderful. I mean, it's just a great, great varietal. Truth in lending here, it's my favorite grape varietal because I am a little bit of a Burgundian like the old man was. So I like my Pinot Noirs, and I just think it's wonderful. And one of the ones, Pinot Noirs, that I truly like is, we just got some more in. We just imported it in from France. We avoided the tariffs. It's called Grand Conseiller from the Bouchard-Annie family. And it's a name in homage of one of their founders, Paul Bouchard. He was the Grand Conseiller. At one point, he worked kind of with the king, somehow survived the revolution, and then he was still a counselor in Burgundy that not only worked as far as advancing wine, he set up a wine school. He also set up a cooking school. He also helped with certain regulations of wine. So it's a nice homage to Paul Bouchard, the Grand Conseiller, and that's a Pinot Noir. And again, it's $24.99, buy one, get one. So you're $12 a bottle for Pinot Noir, which is just terrific. You know, ever since that crazy movie Sideways, Pinot Noirs have just been skyrocketing in price. You know, right now in Burgundy itself, there's actually kind of the billionaire's war going on where people got bored of investing in Bordeaux and now they're investing in Burgundy. So you're seeing a lot of their prices skyrocket. Like a white wine called Puy Fouissé, we couldn't even really give away about 5 years ago. They just got their Grand Cru redesignate and everybody's hot for Puy Fouissé. And of course, then the prices doubled, where we were retailing some of those Puy Fouissés for about $10 a bottle. Now their costs are starting at like $25 and $30. It's quite incredible. But I digress to get back to the Pinot Noir. But that Bouchard Pinot Noir is just a wonderful wine to have. And again, it's a wine that I think that people at that party would like you to enjoy if you're going to open it up right there at that party, because Pinots are so easy, so wonderful to enjoy. Great fruit to it, a little bit of black cherry to it, but just an easy red wine that's just easy drinking, wonderful. So, and then of course, Danny, go figure, we always have one question that always comes down the pipeline that we talk so much about is Malbec. And of course, this person came in and said, what happened to all the Malbecs? I want a barbecue, and you guys don't seem to have all these Malbecs. And it was a old contraire, mon frere, come over here. You showed them the Malbec section. But what has happened, you know, Malbec was super hot about, let's say, 8 years ago, as far as, you know, people catching on to it, loving those wines from Argentina. What you kind of saw, though, was a lot of Californians might have had Malbec planted in their vineyards for blending purposes or whatever, but they all jumped on the bandwagon and started bottling it individually. In other places, in other regions, they did the same thing. And now it has slowed down a little bit, but I think what happened really is consumers realized that the Argentinian Malbecs are the best. Now, it's open for discussion, but they realized their sales on that was, you know, again, trying to catch the little lightning in a jar because it was so crazy. And now they've taken those labels away from some of their stuff. They brought their, like the Californians had brought their Malbec back to a blending grape to blend in with their other wines, where the Argentinians are just, you know, thriving with it. And with such a wonderful grape varietal, we had this Diamandis Perlita, which was a little blend of Syrah and Malbec. And it's just a gorgeous wine. Again, big, meaty, full-flavored, rich wine that would go well with any barbecue, especially when you're doing barbecued ribs, because you would kind of have that sugary glaze on those pork ribs, you know, that we're used to. We do that kind of ketchup-based barbecue sauce in this neck of the woods, unlike down south and around Carolinas, where you use more mustard-based and vinegar-based stuff. This goes so well with that, you know, just that rich, red, sticky barbecue sauce. It hangs with all that, and it's just a treat. And it's very affordable. I think it's only about $14. Great, great little Malbec. And we have other Malbecs as well. We have one called Lascano. We have another, the whole line of Aguari Bay, the Flechas de los Andes, and their Grand Corti, which are great ones as far as different price ranges. So there's still a lot of Malbecs out there. It's just what you're seeing is the concentration from Argentina, just for the fact that Argentina is sort of the epicenter of it. Everybody else kind of tried to jump on the bandwagon, and people realize, no, where the real McCoy is from down south in Argentina. So, you know, we love to do that. We love to answer questions. We love to work with all the customers and get the right wines in their hands. And, you know, again, you know, the Sheep Station, I think that is it. But there's so many other white wines that you can do for the summer. But, again, people love that Sauvignon Blanc. It's still a grape varietal that is outpacing many other white grape varietals as far as the amount of wines being sold and people still putting those in their baskets. So Sauvignon Blanc in this little heat wave that we're having, but it is July in Minnesota. It should be kind of warm and a little sticky, is the way to do it. Open one of those up out on the patio and just enjoy the day. And, you'll put a heavy chill on it and you'll get quite refreshed.
Absolutely. And a texter, I know we've got to go here in a minute, but a texter, and I think it's a good question. You mentioned, and I agree, because every time I've tasted a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, there's that grapefruit, that citrusy thing. Do we know why that happens?
Location. It's just the way the climate is, that cool climate air that rolls off the Pacific Ocean, a little bit with their soils that are down there, that kind of volcanic soil that is kind of the foundation of most of New Zealand. It's all those conditions that change the grape varietal. Because even if you look at a Sauvignon Blanc from the Loire, where Sancerre comes from one area, Touraine from another one, they vary in flavor as well, just because location, or terroir.
Very good. Well, Ted, you've given us some great ideas that we can always find at any Haskell's location.
You're correct, Jenny. You know, we can't do much about this heat that's coming to us, but except get you some light and refreshing wines to get rid of this heat and fight it. Just enjoy a summertime in Minnesota. We have Haskell's locations throughout the metro area to take. We have a Haskell's in downtown Minneapolis with free parking on the weekends. We have a Haskell's in Ridgedale Shopping Center, right across the street from there. We have a Haskell's in downtown Highland. We also have a Haskell's in Lowman's Plaza down in Bloomington. If you're out on the lake cooling off on Lake Minnetonka, stop by Haskell's Excelsior. You can swing into the store and pick up some of those Sauvignon Blancs, or stop in and maybe have a burger at the bar. We have a Haskell's out in White Bear Lake, Haskell's in Stillwater if you're going out on the St. Croix at all. Also, if you're headed down south, right off of 35 is a Haskell's in Faribault. We have a Haskell's in Plymouth, Haskell's up in Maple Grove, our super cellar, always a sight to be seen. And then we, if you can't hit any of those up, Denny, you could always stop by Haskell's.com 24/7, place your order, and we'll even deliver it to you.
Absolutely. Ted, always fun, always great information. Let's do this again next week.
I'm looking forward to that, Denny.
Thanks so much, Ted Farrell from Haskell's. Now, get those lawn and garden questions ready. Coming along on the 8 o'clock hour, of course, our Smart Garden Show this morning. She's a professor. Professor Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota will be answering your lawn and garden questions. That's next hour. In the meantime, look for sunshine near 90 today, 73 overnight, near 92 tomorrow, near 92 on Monday. Right now, 72 degrees from News Talk A3O. This is WCCO.